Okay, welcome back on Wednesday. It's wild. Wild over here, it's wild in Europe. We're going to go to Ireland now and talk to Father Paul Kramer and find out his observations on the obviously scripted, agendaized, how's that for a word, chaos that we're being laced with almost every day now. Trump is running around like a madman, running his mouth off. It's quite remarkable. Russia, tremendous reversals in one day. First, they signed a 20-year treaty with Iran to work with them on defense. And then they say that if Iran is attacked, they won't get involved. They have no obligation. I don't get it. That's the design, though. That's what they want. Father Kramer, welcome back. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. It's really crazy out there, and I'm wondering how it must look to you from over there in Ireland about Trump. He's running his mouth like a braggart or a bully, and I can't imagine what the rest of the world must be thinking. How are you, and welcome back first?
Well, it's great to be back. I'm doing well, and my observation is that we have the element of chaos being injected even more forcefully than before.
Thank you. I've been saying this much the same thing. I concur 1,000%. Well done. Yeah.
What is the net effect of what is being brought about now that the situation is much more volatile than before.
I concur. I wish I could tell you what was going to happen. I can't, you can't, we can't. It's very frustrating, but that's what they want. China appears economically to be almost collapsing, if not in certain areas and compartments doing exactly that. China is in bad shape, and yet the PLA is stronger than ever. So China is the PLA. But then you look at Europe, which is talking about war with Russia. How are they going to fight a war with Russia? They don't have enough military. They don't have enough armaments. Their munitions stockpiles are way down because of Ukraine. I don't know. So are ours. Tell us more about your views. I'm very interested.
I look back to just before the Second World War, and after the German attack, and the war became a European war, you had the United States making like the sanctions we have today. They prevented trade with Japan. They wanted to economically strangle Japan, and and the result of that was the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Right, which was, we might add quickly, known about in advance by Roosevelt and the American military, and they let it happen. That's the truth.
They wanted it to happen. They wanted it to happen. I forgot the name of the man who was the Secretary of War at the time. Before they used the Orwellian term, Secretary of Defense, they actually called it what it is, the Secretary of War. Yeah. And he said that, I can't remember the exact words, but one of my professors who was living at the time and living in Europe at the time said that he had...
I remember now. Hold on. Stimson. Henry Stimson, he was Secretary of War. I think that's the one you're thinking of.
Well, who was the Secretary of State at the time?
Let me find out. Hold on.
One of those two.
Stimson was Secretary of War. Cordell Hull, longest serving U.S. Secretary of State, holding the position for 11 years, 1933 to 1944, in the administration of Franklin D. Roosevelt during most of World War II. Cordell Hull. I think you're thinking of Stimson. He's
Stimson. I think
better.
It was Stimson. Yeah, who said in his memoirs that he breathed a sigh of relief when the Japanese attacked, that they wanted this to take place.
Uh huh. They did. Sure, they did. Well, they cut off Japan's sources of oil. You can't do that. That's setting up a war, and that's what they wanted, and that's what they got.
That's what they're doing now.
I agree. I look at this as a lot of very interesting threads, pregnant with many possibilities. And which thread to grab onto? You can't just grab onto one now. You've got to learn how to weave them together and come up with a bigger than single whole that you can try to look at and make sense of. It's being done on purpose. You're using the word chaos is 100% correct. Bravo.
And the interesting thing is that if you look at the economic policy, the foreign policy of both Russia and China, neither one wants war. They don't want war. It's the West that wants war.
Absolutely.
That's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing. And of course, because the Western leaders are simply doing what they're told.
Oh, sickeningly so. Right. Absolutely right. Don't know how else to phrase it. The machinations underway are coming down from the top. The top being not visible to the rank and file. We don't know the names of all the top people. We see their immediate apparatus that is being used by them to influence and change things. Organizations like the World Economic Forum and so forth. And it's not Klaus Schwab, it's above Schwab. You just wonder what these people want. Do they want a world war? They could get it if they want it. Do they want a regional war? They can have that too. We really are being fed a line of BS to keep us all off balance. That's my take. But go ahead.
Well, they're going to get more than they bargained for. In the end, they will get. They may briefly set up their new world order, but it will collapse.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. Good.
It will collapse because the chaos is going to become so universal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be putting the survival of the human race at risk. And
I think that's a matter of fact already. I think AI is the ultimate threat. I think it's actually at least a quasi existential threat. Go ahead, please.
Yes, that's true. But even before that becomes a more active threat, the human element is going to get completely out of hand, and with the wars that are going to take place, the total warfare, which will be nuclear, it will be biological, it will be chemical, it will be weather manipulation.
Right.
So you're going to have such massive destruction, like I've said before.
Mm-hmm.
It could very well be more than half of the human race will be wiped out.
Yes, I'm completely in agreement with that too. What's going to happen is what they want to happen. Basically, they're in charge. This is the same old group. They're in charge for the most part. There may be some chance of something spontaneous happening that they didn't plan, but they've got it nailed down. They really are in control of most of the narrative now. I think anyhow.
They're systematically destroying the economy of the world, and they're doing it in such a manner that with the pandemic, so with the so-called pandemics, with the lockdowns.
Yeah.
Beyond that, what's even most sinister is this idea of climate change, and it's all based on the idea of carbon emissions.
No, that's absurd. Laughable. Awful.
This whole thing was created for the purpose of establishing a global dictatorship. It has nothing to do with climate science. Is a total fraud. And what they're planning on doing is they're setting up a regime that is systematically going to destroy the economy. It is in the process of destroying the economy. And while everyone is so preoccupied with recycling things that have to be put into a special bin for being recycled, while we have to do all this recycling just to save the planet from for the environment, they plan on destroying the environment with the most dreadful weapons of mass destruction, with nuclear weapons and such. And where does that leave your the materials that you're putting in the recycle bin for the sake of preserving a tidy planet?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would also submit that this COVID slaughter, which is what it was, it's just but one of a number of pathogens that are on the shelf right now that can literally wipe out most life on the planet. Most. I remember 50 years ago them talking about two things that had been discovered, one a bacteria, one was a fungus, I believe, that could, in fact, if they were turned loose, destroy most life on the planet. Period. And that's 50 years ago. So whatever they have now is frighteningly further down the road than that. So we'll see. Do they want to shoot them up, bang, bang, big explosion, nuclear war kind of war? Or do they want, not with a bang, but with a whimper kind of a war? They can have whatever they want. That's true. Don't know what they're going to choose, though. I have no idea.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to choose all of the above.
Oh, God. Well, you may be right. You may be right. How does it look from your vantage point as you watch or read about Trump just running his mouth, threatening this, threatening that person, now telling people that they're all, those people who he has lowered tariffs on are all kissing his rear end, begging him to negotiate with them, please, oh please, Mr. President. He's just like a punk kid. How does it look to you over there? It doesn't look good over here, let me tell you that.
I'm not sure what he intends to bring about, but I think there's going to be unintended consequences for him. Things that he doesn't foresee are going to take place.
It makes sense. It does. Yeah, he's disposable. He may not think he is, but he is. So if things don't shape up like his controllers would like, he could be gone. Don't know. I think you're all of the above, though, could well happen. You know, not just the U.S., the U.K., Russia, China, and maybe a couple others, not just those countries have biological weapons of mass destruction. Many others do, second-tier countries. We have right now, still in Ukraine, apparently several dozen biological weapons facilities, right now, playing with genetics, playing with strains and hybrids and such that can be released. So if the average rank-and-file individual knew how dangerous this world was, he or she would probably just throw their hands up. It's not good.
I remember when I was reading this back in the 80s, the autobiography of Peter Deryabin, who was the chief of the Kremlin Guard Directorate back in the 1950s. And he defected to the United States. And he wrote in his book, he explained that they had the biological weapons facility that were, they had such deadly pathogens in there that when the KGB had their people had to go into those facilities, that they were absolutely filled with dread going into that place because they realized the mortal danger that they were exposing themselves to by even entering those facilities.
No, they were right. I agree. Yeah.
And let's recall now, at the beginning of this decade, the World Health Organization, at one of these major international meetings, announced that this decade will be the decade of pandemics.
Well, we've had one, although there are a lot of mitigating circumstances around it. It's not a spontaneous, natural one. It's a synthetic. There's nothing natural about it. So they cobbled it together. Dr. Ralph Baric and his buddy, Fauci, etc. No, it was all contrived. The scientist at Wuhan, I got a story up about one of the Wuhan scientists said he feels very guilty about having played a role in its successful development and wishes he hadn't. Too late. 5.5 billion people have been injected with various derivatives of this synthetic COVID virus. Not a good situation.
And the thing is, they are going to double down on this idea of so-called vaccination because, like I said...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
The decade of pandemics, plural, they have more pandemics planned. And they're going to become more coercive about forcing people to take these lethal injections.
I agree. This is all part and parcel of the social credit score system that will be rolled out here. It's actually already out, but they're going to roll it out. They've got it in China. And then there's the story again. I don't know if you did see it or hear it, but a leading scientist in China kind of blew the whistle. He said, we have mass remote control, wireless mind control right now. We're using on, or the government is, the PLA government, using it on tens of millions of Chinese right now, he said. It's fascinating. In fact, it's 5 minutes long. If you want to hear it, I'll play it. It's a very good clip. Let me dig it up.
I was not aware of this. No,
oh,
I haven't.
Let me find it. I'll pull it up. Hold on. It's very important that people know. This isn't in the future. This isn't sci-fi down the road. This is right now, real time, in use, and they have it. And where am I here? Okay. The article is called Digital Slaves, China's Secret Brain Control of Tens of Millions of Its Own People. Yes, and it's happening here, too. Let me pull this up. I've played this before, but it's well worth another listen. It's just 5 minutes. I got to get this set up.
Introducing.
All right, hold on 1 second. He's getting through the.
It comes with 24 bits that you can use for most.
The second commercial. A Taiwanese lady who is very, very heavily involved with tracking this. So here we go. All right.
isolated and helpless. I don't know if this is one of the reasons that have contributed to the sharp increase in the number of people being sent to psychiatric hospitals for treatment. So now let me talk about what an expert said, because this is extremely important. So in 2001, here are some of the posters that these victims have put up across China to raise awareness of what's happening.
Think of what we call in the U.S. targeted individuals, TIs. That's what these Chinese are protesting from that position of being a TI over there.
To them. So now let me talk about the scale of the problem. So I think it was in 2001, Chen Yizhen.
This guy's name is Chen Yizhang, scientist, People's Liberation Army, I'm sure.
The president of the Chinese Neuroscience Society revealed the secrets of CCP's brain control programs in an essay. So he said, over a decade ago, when this program had just begun implementation, I wrote an article opposing it. My colleague, Dr. Deng Zibin, put it even more bluntly in the May 1st, 2001 edition of Southern Weekend on page 6. Southern Weekend is 南方 Zhou Mo. And so this is what he quoted to Dr. Deng. This is what they say. Those who control this technology will be able to control us, dominate us, know what we're going to do before we do it, and know what we've done after the fact. As the technology continues to improve, it will ultimately reach the point where we will do whatever they want us to do. We're witnessing the rise of a phantom of spiritual interrogation haunting the land. Our pursuit of truth will be subordinated to some quote-unquote higher social value, and facts will be extracted from weakened and manipulated consciousness. Every such technology represents a violation of privacy and freedom of will. Because it can detect what you're thinking and doing at any moment.
Okay, I want to repeat. This is remote control. They can dial anybody up at any time, find out what they're thinking, and influence how they think, what they remember, their memories and so forth, real time, wireless, no chip needed, okay? So she's reading a list of 6 items. I'm going to back it up just a little bit to get number 1 there, and we'll go through this. 6 items.
Facts will be extracted from weakened and manipulated consciousness. Every such technology represents a violation of privacy and freedom of will. Because it can detect what you're thinking and doing at any moment. Your thoughts, memories, and behavior are no longer private. 2, it can interact with you directly through your brain, even extracting your memories and mimicking your voice in real-time dialogue. 3, it can forcibly implant dreams and control dream content. 4, it can make you smell artificially... it can make you smell artificially generated odors. 5, it can transmit its own intent into your mind during intense stimulation, controlling both your thoughts and behavior. 6, it can mentally and physically torture you using various methods. If this system doesn't activate the interaction or torture mode, you may never even realize it exists inside you. But the most terrifying part isn't just the functions listed above. It's the fact that tens of millions of citizens are already being monitored 24/7, and most of them have no idea. The real goal of the operator or operators is to monitor these people, not just to test the technology. Among those unknowingly monitored, the majority are males aged 15 to 55, with a higher concentration in urban populations. The technology is now spreading into rural areas. In terms of profession, the main targets include mid and low-level government officials and civil servants, mid and low-ranking military officers and regular soldiers, teachers and students at universities and high schools, intellectuals, and some ordinary citizens. And it went on to say, why don't most of the monitored individuals realize it? First, the implementation process is extremely secretive. Second, the technology is wireless, so there's no physical sensation. And yet, their thoughts and memories are being fully intercepted and recorded. In other words, whatever you think or do, they already know. And it went on to say, in 1996, China became a member of the Human Brain Project, a global initiative involving 21 countries. Today, most of those countries possess this technology, but for various reasons, they are unwilling to admit it. If anyone brings it up, the topic is either suppressed or distorted, because the use of such technology is deeply anti-human and serves only those who control it. And it went on to say, the nations have even signed a quasi-Munich agreement regarding the regulation or the restriction of this technology. So it says, science is a double-edged sword, a force that can drive human progress, but also a tool that may accelerate humanity's destruction.
Okay, it goes on from there, but it's up on the right side of the homepage if any of you want to look at the whole thing. It's about 28 minutes long. Started that one at 21. So the issue, Father Kramer, is you don't know your mind is being altered. You're getting new memories. You're having memories taken out. You're experiencing things, smelling things that you've never really smelled before. These are all done and much more. And 26 countries signed this brain-mind control treaty. And most of those 26, they're obviously the major countries, have this technology well deployed now. This didn't just happen. This has been in use for some time. Over here, again, we call it targeted individuals who say they hear voices and so forth in their head. It's a big movement over here, TIs. She said the other and most important part of this thing is how can they access a single desired person in a crowd of a million. The answer is everyone's brain has like a fingerprint. Their brain waves are different, every single person. So all they have to do is database the brain waves of a million people, and they can call up any one of them at any time.
Well, I think one of the things they're doing is they're using that technology that when people hear about this, they're being programmed just to be to dismiss this whole idea as just nothing but a conspiracy theory.
Correct. Agreed. Yep. Oh, that's fantastic. That's science fiction. You're nuts. You're crazy. They can't control. They can't do that. Oh, yes, they can. Remember, everything, according to Tesla, and he's right, is frequency. It's all vibrational frequency. And that's where the primary energy is going into now, studying how to control people through vibrational frequency. Call it EMF if you want. Doesn't matter to me. But they're doing it, and they're doing it in China right now, according to this source, and I read this to be very credible. Tens of millions of people, and they're doing it over here. I've had people on the program here, Father Kramer, 25 years ago, who were targeted individuals, and they would describe what's happening to them. They were aware of it because what was being done to them was to terrorize them. It wasn't a kind thing. And if you're not terrorized or otherwise abused or tormented, you won't know it's there. It's in the background. So anyway, please go ahead.
Over the last 30 years, some targeted individuals have even communicated with me and explain to me what was the ordeal they were going through.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I've been aware of this for some time. For decades, I've been aware of this.
Yeah. Well, it's here. It's here now. And do we make our own minds up about things? Uh-uh. Not if they don't want us to. But we do what they want? Sure. They'll just implant and impregnate the brain with the data necessary, and then they'll give you the answer to the dilemma, whatever the puzzle is. It doesn't matter. And you don't need to be chipped. That's the point. They've got it wireless. Is it 5G? Could be. Are they using 5G and 4G cellular towers and networks? Probably. I would guess that that's logical. But it's true. And if you were involved with people who were TIs long ago, you know very well what's happening.
Well, they isolate these people. They use that technology to isolate these people so that no one can be of any assistance to them, because they'll just dismiss them as being paranoid.
Correct. Yep. But they're not. No. This is the world we live in now. It's the science fiction world. And the technology that they have and that they can deploy, most people wouldn't believe. They just wouldn't. I mean, I have sometimes trouble believing it, but I know it's true. And that goes, all this that we're talking about goes to the realm of biophysiological medication, for example, and changes therein. It's not hemmed in by much of anything. They're way ahead than they ever admit. They do tell us, but 10 years, 20 years, 30 years after the fact. So there we are.
I recall, I'll give you one example. I knew a targeted individual who told me that I was in danger. And I dismissed the idea at first. He says, I'm going to prove it to you. And we were in Rome at the time. He drove me down to the Tiber River. And he said, don't turn your head, but just look to your right. And there was a man, a bearded man, who was walking by. And he says, on the other side of the city this morning, I encountered that same individual that we have just encountered now. And he took me to various... We saw the same man again later on in a different part of the city.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we're walking down one street, and one of these surveillance agents with another man walking by, exchanged a word in such a way, in a very furtive manner. He says, my friend says, did you see that? I said, yes, I did. Then we went into like a cafe type of, they call it a bar, but it's actually a place for drinking coffee in Rome. And so I had to use the restroom, there were these big burly men who tried to get into that bathroom, and luckily I had a good solid door with a lock on it, so I was safe at that moment. But this sort of thing we saw continue, this kind of surveillance, and it was pointed out to me, and then that's when I said to my friend, you know, when I leave the house in the morning, there's a car. When I go to the bus stop, each morning there's a car that accompanies me to the bus stop. As I walk to the bus stop, there's a car driving slowly, following me to the bus stop. I said, I never thought anything of it. But well, I was being watched, and if I had mentioned the house where I was living, you would understand why. Also, another reason why they would be watching me. I was watched by more than just one intelligence service. At the time, Archbishop Capucci was living in a Lebanese religious house and religious institution, and I happened to be staying in that same house. And they had a high degree of security there for obvious reasons, because he was a Palestinian himself, and a major church leader of his day. So he was closely watched. His living quarters were being renovated, so he was at another. They put him in another, in a more secure area, and I was staying, in fact, in his room.
Wow.
Well,
that's called wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. So I understood what it's like. Briefly, I understood what it's like to be a targeted individual, and I was at that time.
That's quite a lesson. Yeah, I got it.
This was back in 1981.
Well, welcome to the club. Imagine where they are now, right? That's damn near 50 years ago. That's why this little clip I played is perfectly believable to me. I don't have a problem with it at all. It's funny you saw the guy later on in the city that day. That's funny.
Oh, yes. And my friend who told me about this had formerly been in military intelligence, so he had some idea about the goings on of these kinds of organizations.
Funny.
Oh yes, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, but there are so many interesting incidents that took place in connection with that. That, the surveillance was. At one point, I was on a bus, and my friend, who was formerly with the military intelligence, he spotted there was a camera set up. Well, the camera is pointed at the bus at the bus stop where we're getting off. And he said, "They're going to photograph you." He said, "Well, I was going to meet this man at the bus stop." In fact, when I got to the bus stop, he came up with a newspaper and he says, "Put this over your face because they're going to be filming you." And yes, there was a cameraman there.
How funny. Well, and you were the wrong guy.
Well, I was connected with the main targets. I was too closely connected with the main targets.
Got it. Troublemaker way back then. I see. Well, you should be flattered that they put a lot of resources out to track you, take your picture, listen in, etc. Funny, you know. Yeah, that'll bring it home real quick. I understand.
This kind of surveillance is the normal thing, and people like some Vatican officials are very aware of it. The late Monsignor Mario Marini, the one who was mentioned by Father Charles Murr in his book, Murder in the 33rd Degree.
Great title.
I knew Monsignor Marini, and I remember one time I went to visit him. I think it was, November of 2008, and I sat down to talk to him, and he says, "Don't sit there," he says. "You're facing the window."
Uh huh. Got it.
He says, "You got to sit on the other." We have to sit on the other side where there's not where the window opening up to the street, where we can't be seen. is that they have cameras, they have microphones. This man was the secretary of the Sacred Congregation for Divine Worship. This is a high-ranking Vatican official who was very well aware of that kind of surveillance.
Understand, yeah. That is very interesting.
In Brazil, there was a bishop, Manuel Pestana. He was the bishop of Anápolis in Goiás state in Brazil. And he was talking about the microphones they have monitoring, recording what's being said in his house. The exact same setup that Monsignor Marini was telling me about. Bishop Pestana had the same thing happening to him at his bishop's residence. And he said which intelligence services. He says there were three of them. He could identify two of the intelligence services that had their microphones there. There was a third one that he doesn't know who they are.
Well, and that's almost 50 years ago. They have made a lot of progress in that field. They can dial up anybody and apparently get into their brain and read it, understand what it's thinking, understand what it's planning, etc. This is the world we live in. Yeah. So whatever became of that, anything?
Well, whoever was, it's in their, in those days it would be in the filing cabinets. Now it's in their computers, but,
right.
I guess they have massive files on people. Anyone who was of any importance, they have massive files on everyone.
All true. Yeah. Probably in this country it's millions. I believe the figure in China was tens of millions, but I'm sure they have whatever they want. This all what we live in is essentially a show. It's a scripted show, a program, and it's all controlled. Nothing much is left to chance or circumstance. It's plotted out. Hard for people to believe, but it's true. That's a great story. Yeah, thank you for sharing it. Yeah, that's good.
It gives new meaning to the words of Shakespeare. I'm butchering his quote, but he said, the world is a stage and we are all the actors.
Precisely. Actually, I'm not sure if we're the actors. I don't know. Yes, but he added. Maybe there's something in that statement more than most people realize. It sounds like there probably is. Yeah, we're just part of the actors. We're the unwitting actors in this play.
Yes.
We don't know. Wow. How did you process that? Did you speak to anyone over the years about that experience and ask them if they had similar? I mean, if the Vatican is being watched or the Catholic Church, the higher levels like that, 45 years ago, 50 years ago, that's pretty interesting. I'm sure they're watching Bergoglio right now. I wonder how much control they're exerting over him.
They are exerting control over him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned before, he wanted to fire the Vatican chief of security, and his Masonic superior called him on the phone from Buenos Aires and told him he may not do that. And my source for that information was Cardinal Renato Martino. This is not some rumor.
Got it. Yeah. Well, that's was that Buenos Aires you said?
Yeah.
And look where Bergoglio is from, Argentina. Must be some major power focal points. Operational points in Argentina with the church. I would say it's pretty obvious.
Well, that that was his Masonic superior.
I gotcha. We should probably mention something about Bergoglio having been given a second chance, or whatever they're giving him. He made an appearance, wasn't it, 2 days ago? I think his first appearance, something like that. What do you make of the current status of Bergoglio and the Bergoglians? Sounds like a rock and roll group.
Well, there's going to be... he's not going to be around much longer. I can't say what week, what month, but his days are numbered.
Right.
And it's very difficult to foresee exactly how this is going to play out. Who is going to be replacing him? How many competitors may? How many rival claimants to the papal chair may find themselves elected in one way or the other? We've seen this happen in past history, so it's not a wild speculation.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
It's hard to predict, but I kind of think that there's going to be a polarization that's going to take place, and Bergoglio's synodal church is going to be a separate entity from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is going to reemerge as what it was historically, because there's going to be a separation between the two organizations. Right now, they're still too much mixed together, and the hierarchy, the bishops, the priests, the laity, they're all mixed together. Some who are of the radical synodalist group, and those who are of the more traditionally minded Catholicism of all time.
Right.
So the confusion consists in the fact that they are together, oftentimes in the same parishes, in the same diocese, so in the same hierarchy, in the same bishops' conferences. So you have this division the opposition between the various elements in the hierarchy. But this is going to polarize when they're going to split up into two very recognizable, visible, opposed organizations. That will take place.
And admittedly so in the general media. It's not going to be sub rosa. They're going to talk about it. I would think
they
have to. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting transition point. Yeah. Very good. Well, we will find out soon enough. And again, I think your point is very well taken, as they all are. Bergoglio is at this point really irrelevant. It's his successor we need to watch. My money is still on Fernandez. I don't know.
That's
why.
Very possible. It's very possible.
Really?
But it was Pope Benedict XVI when he was still Father Ratzinger, Father Joseph Ratzinger. 1969, yeah. He predicted how the church will become small, but it will be purified. So there will be this division. It will take place. And it was already predicted way back in 1969 by Father Joseph Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI.
Well, time will tell, probably sooner rather than later. Thank you, Father Kramer. Any final thing you want to say here or add to the discussions? It's always fun. Very enlightening, too.
Well, again, like I say, it's very difficult to predict, but there are the signs of the times that we have to watch for. And in prophecy, we have been told which signs of the times to look for so we can have a good educated, more than just an educated guess as to what is on the horizon and what is about to take place in the world. We have to be very much aware and be very observant so that we will not just become a victim of circumstance.
Right. We don't want to be surprised. I got it. Very good. Thank you, Father Kramer. Talk to you, week from next week, something like that. We'll talk to you soon on Friday.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. All right, and thanks to all of you. There's so much going on out there. Believe me, it's very difficult to track. I know you're in it on it, too, and watching and listening. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday. We'll talk to you then.